In the travel news, Southwest Rapid Rewards can't live up to their name any longer as the airline makes massive cuts in its frequent flyer program and arrests are made at the Newark airport in a bribery and payola scheme. We have the details next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we discuss the pros and cons of taking the first flight out in the morning.
I took a group of sports leisure travelers to Palm Springs over this past weekend. I'll share reviews on restaurants, hotels, and attractions for those headed to the desert anytime soon at 11:35.
Reward/loyalty programs have long been a big winner for airlines and hotels. We've been warning listeners for a long time about the possibility those points and miles might be losing value. And now it's happening all over. We'll explain the fleecing of the masses at 11:50.
Thanks for joining us on one of Sacramento's favorite radio shows. Here to make you a smarter traveler, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and on the podcasts at TravelGuysRadio.com as well as iHeartMedia. Good to see you, Mark. How was Palm Springs?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. We have a whole segment dedicated to it later on in the program. But I will tell you that we had a really good time eating and being entertained and enjoying some of the sights down in Palm Springs. Hey, listen, before we start the program, I want to just give a short shout out here to our friends at TSA. We had a lady on our trip who lost her driver's license and while she was on the trip. And so, you know, she checked in at the airport to come home. So she figured out there wasn't too many places that it could be. Wasn't on the airplane, then perhaps she had lost it in the airport. Turns out that she had indeed, it had come loose during her passing through TSA. She got a hold of TSA. They confirmed that they had the license, and then they offered to ship it back to her, to mail it back to her at no charge or anything, and send it overnight. And I just want to just kind of give a shout out to our, you know, we get along. We have a great relationship with the TSA guys here in Sacramento because they're willing to come on the program and share their tips with you. And when it's about time, we probably got those guys back on again. But I just wanted some folks get a little irritated when they have to pass through TSA. And sometimes they're feeling like, you know, they're being picked on a little bit. So it was just nice to hear that. In this case, they went the extra mile to make sure that somebody got something back that was really important to them.
Yeah, that is great news. Do you know that if it was a TSA agent that actually found the driver's license, or was it a citizen that turned it in?
Don't know. They just confirmed that they had it. And then, you know, I mean, they could say, well, you know, if you send us a Federal Express envelope or, you know, you send us $20 or whatever. And she said, no, they were happy to help her get it back. So
that is super great news. That's a good story. And look forward to having Sid and Dale with the TSA on and talk about the latest. Speaking of the latest and the travel guys at the top of every program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, Mr. News Guy is Mark Hoffman.
The News Guy. Los Angeles wants you back, says the headline. After the Palisades and Eaton Fire, small businesses that depend on tourism are hurting. Tourists have kind of dried up, particularly in the Hollywood area after the fires. And so folks in Southern California who depend on those tourists, it's funny, Tom, isn't it? It's kind of a push-pull. Mm-hmm. You know, when there are too many tourists somewhere or they're there at the wrong time or they're doing the wrong things, then people are like, hey, get the heck out of here. But then something like this happens and the people who depend on those tourists to be there. I was in Key West a few weeks ago and the weather was kind of crapped out on us. And you go down to the wharf every night. And to the waterfront, people watch the sunset, and there are street performers that will do their little bit, you know, for 5, 6, 7 minutes, and they want you to throw a couple bucks in the hat, and that's how those people make a living, by and large. And so when the weather is bad, nobody goes down there, so, you know, how do you pay the rent? Same thing is happening in Los Angeles. A lot of these little folks are having a big problem. Hotels have been hit really hard by cancellations. And so if you're thinking about, or you've been thinking about, a trip to Southern California to see relatives or to see sites or to go to Disneyland or something like that, this is a good time to go, because some hotels now are offering special rates, particularly on multiple night stays. So if you were going to go down there and stay a few nights, this might be you might pick out a perfect time to go. We're going to address this a little bit later on in the program, but I want to tell you that first, that Marriott Rewards, Marriott Bonvoy program, has decreased. This is the third decrease that they've made in the last 6 months in value. They've devalued their program by increasing the number of points that you need to use at over 150 really popular properties. Wow. So Marriott is saying, if you want to stay in the best places, now it's not only going to cost you an arm and a leg, but perhaps an extra arm. So this is a sign, of course, that we've talked about here on this program for a long time, that there's too much of this fake currency floating around out there that these guys have issued. And at some point in time, they have to devalue it. So Marriott, for the third time now, they're just looking at hotels on the very top tier. Some of them are going to cost you as much as 200,000 points a night. So if you really wanted, you were aspiring to use all of your points to stay in someplace really, really, really cool, you might want to go back and see if it was one of the 150 places that Marriott jacked up the prices on again. This is not a good sign for folks who are members of the Marriott Rewards program. Southwest is taking a different approach. Instead of jacking up the cost of the rewards, what if you made sure that the currency to get the rewards was a lot harder to earn? And that's what Southwest is doing, not across the board, but in an interesting way, as they get ready to make a lot of changes in the way their operation runs, period. So we get to the end of the program at 11:50. We're going to talk about Southwest Airlines and how they have cut the earning power for people in their Rapid Rewards program. Here's kind of a bizarre story. This comes from One Mile at a Time. On last Saturday, several aircraft landing at Washington National Airport. Remember, this is the airport where the helicopter and the plane went down here recently and killed everybody on board the Delta aircraft. Erroneous reports at the airport, false collision alerts to airplanes when there was no collision about to happen or any impending anything. This happened to about half a dozen aircraft over an hour period of time. Reports came from several different flight crews. This was in the daytime. It's an alarm system that goes off and requires the crew to respond to it. But in this case, it was all false alarms, and nobody can figure out why it happened.
Interesting. So some of that showed up on the news. But nobody questioned it. It just showed up, and they said, "Oh, there was a near miss here, and there was a near miss there." But if that's all you ever heard, you didn't get the rest of the story.
No, that's very true. And in this case, nobody was really in any jeopardy, because the flight crews that spoke to the media afterwards said that, when this happened, there are certain procedures we have to follow. And fairly quickly, we figured out that, this was a false alarm. But the fact that nobody knows why it was a false alarm is just a little bit disconcerting. Bus travel. It's been probably for the last 40, 50 years, people they've gone places on an airplane. They haven't gone places on a bus. But bus travel is making a huge comeback. The parent company of Greyhound and Flexbus share a rise in ridership. They say that in 2025, their passenger counts are up in double digits. They were also up in double digits in 2024. So more people are taking the bus. And the reason they're saying is because when people think about, it's 30 minutes to the airport and I've got to be there a couple hours early, and then it takes me an hour and a half hour to fly, 300 or 400 miles, and then I've got to get my bag and pick up my rental car and get on my way. And when you figure out how long it takes to drive that length of time in your own car, you say, well, gosh, this is almost a push. Or it's within an hour or two, and rarely does your own car get stuck out on the tarmac behind 15 or 20 planes, and get stuck for an hour. So while there are other hazards, of course, to driving on the highways, more and more people are looking at bus transportation as – and here is another reason. Internet now is very available on inner-city buses. So and folks who have satellite on their phone, why they're in business anyway, which they couldn't use on an airplane, but they can use it on a bus or, as we like to call them, a motor coach.
You know, you use motor coaches for your tours quite frequently, so you know quite a bit about them. It's been ages since I've been on a Greyhound, and I would imagine the newer buses, the comfort of the seats, seat belts included, is quite different. Speak to that.
Oh yeah, very much so. Modern motor coaches, the seating is much more comfortable. Of course, on the charter coaches that my company uses, generally I would say legroom is more plentiful. Plus, remember that a motor coach, and most airplanes are 3 and 3 seating. Motor coaches are 2 and 2 seating. So everybody either has a window or an aisle. So if you're trying to avoid that horrible middle seat, that's one really important thing. Plus, seats on a motor coach, because there's a little more space between rows, will recline a little bit more. They're not necessarily made to be as thin as is humanly possible to save as much space for that seat behind them. So yes, there are some, plus with a motor coach, you know, they stop every so often, they pick up people, they make rest stops, things like that. So anyway, it's interesting to see that the general public is taking Greyhound bus lines and their equivalents more often than they did. Okay, a couple of quick things here. U.S. hotel occupancy drops in February. It's down a couple percent year over year. However, the average daily room rate is up 2.5% year over year. That's not too bad. Only 2.5%, says the man who's been doing this for a while. Delta Airlines, we mentioned a few weeks ago that they were doing a partnership with Shake Shack and putting burgers on a few of their planes, particularly out of Boston. Apparently, that has gone well. They are expanding it now to include flights out of Atlanta, Los Angeles, Seattle, and New York's LaGuardia Airport, which those are all hubs for Delta. So that means a lot of flights may have, certainly in first class, and may have buy-on-board opportunities. You can try a Shake Shack burger. If you are listening to the program, I don't fly Delta Airlines very much. I'm a United guy. And once you've earned a lot of miles or whatever with a one airline, you tend to kind of stick there. Plus, that's the airline my company uses a lot. But if you fly Delta Airlines and you've had one of the Shake Shack burgers, I would love to know, because I'm a burger guy, and I'd love to know if they were any good, you know, or they were just kind of warmed over crud, or if they must have gotten decent reviews because Delta's expanding it to a lot of flights. So send us a note at travelguysradio.com. You can send us a quick note. All right, one last story here. This comes from the Newark Airport. Feds, lies, and payola. Three men plead guilty in Soprano-esque fraud and bribery scandal uncovered at Newark Airport. It seems as though the guy who is the head man for United Airlines, or a former operations manager at United Airlines at Newark Airport, used his position to award contracts in exchange of over $1.5 million in bribes and kickbacks from vendors. So in other words, you wanted to put, you know, you wanted your product in the airport, or you wanted your restaurant in the airport. This guy could make it happen, you know, if you, you know, put your hand under the table and there were certain denominations of bills in it. This happened apparently before the feds caught him. The person who was the whistleblower had it happen to him. So this has been going on for a little while. The three guys who were arrested face a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and fines of up to $250,000 for each account. The guys aged 59, 65, and 70. They were all senior employees at United Airlines. So the charges were heard in Trenton Federal Court just this past week. So because it's New York, I thought it was an interesting story because, you know, the guys in New York, that's the way they operate. You don't pay the money, you don't get the business. So anyhow, that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Check us out, Travel Guys radio.com. And you were talking about hamburgers. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I know you had the halibut at Rudy's the other day and raved about it. I do believe, since you're a burger guy, I do believe they have a burger on their menu. I haven't tried it out, but maybe you should give it a shot. By the way, they still have that 6-ounce lobster tail for $29.95. You just tell them you want the Travel Guys special. It's there every day of the week, including, I think, for lunch. Speaking of lunch, if you haven't done lunch at Rudy's, they've got all kinds of great stuff, including these prime rib tacos. They're kind of an appetizer, but practically a meal at the same time. Don't forget, Rudy's always there for you if you want to cater. Always there for you if you need to be putting on a crab feed. Right now, it's crab season, and man, the crabs are just luscious right now. So keep them in mind. And of course, if you want some
clam chowder,
you were a little slow on that one there. If you want some, if you want some clam chowder, Mark's favorite, Rudy's has the best on the West. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find just off of Highway 50 at Hazel. You tell them when you come, the Travel Guys sent you. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here every Saturday at 11 a.m. to make you a smarter traveler. And here we go once again. All right, Mark, we've teased about this. We've talked about it occasionally on the show. Let's talk about the pros and cons of getting up early to get that first flight out of the day. Now, Sacramento, what's the earliest flight out?
Well, there's United flight to Denver that leaves between 5:05 and 5:30. It kind of moves around quite a bit. So Southwest had a couple of flights going north right after 5 o'clock, but they couldn't get anybody to fly on them. They lowered the fares, and they still couldn't get anybody to fly on them. They're hub airport flights that are leaving early in the morning. For example, the Denver flight, you know, get you to Denver. So all of the West Coast flights to Denver are all leaving in that same time period, so they can all converge on Denver at the same time. People can flip their planes, and then all those planes can take off generally for points east, 45 minutes to an hour and a half after that. So here's the deal. With those early flights, there's a couple of really important things. If you're not a sophisticated traveler, think about this. If a flight leaves at 5:30 in the morning, and I almost laughed before the break when you said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Dude, if you got a flight leaving at 5:30, you get up at 3 o'clock, you're not going to make it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You got to be there 2 hours early.
Well,
so that's 4:30,
you could probably,
3:30.
I mean, TSA doesn't open until 3:30, so don't get there too much earlier than that.
Okay.
But on those morning flights, you can cut it down maybe by 10 minutes, but for a reason I'll tell you in just a second here. But still, be careful about cutting it too close. But you know, where we live in Cordova, we're 30 minutes from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Figure another 15 minutes to get inside. That's 45 minutes. Got to at least be there an hour and a half early. That's 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm hoping that you shower before you leave the house. So, you know, brush your teeth, stuff like that. So you're kind of looking at a minimum to 3 to 3.5 hours unless the airport is right on your doorstep. And heaven forbid, if you live in Lincoln or something like that, then you're going to be have to get up earlier than that. The point of the matter is here, not that you had to get up early. When I have one of my groups on that 5:15 to Denver, I'm up at 1:45 in the morning because I got to get ready. I got to get to the airport. I have to be the first one there before the groups get there, before the people start arriving. So it's not all that pleasant. I'd almost rather fly a red-eye flight. But the reason that you do this is because two big reasons. The first flight out in the morning, the plane is sitting on the ground overnight. So there's no real – if there was an issue with the airplane, they probably would have known about it when it was coming in. They would have notified you and said, hey, there's been – and this happens occasionally. You know, your flight isn't going to go tomorrow morning because there was a mechanical or it didn't come in last night. So therefore, it can't go out. Logic tells you if the plane didn't arrive, it can't depart.
Yeah, right.
So that's a really key reason. The other thing is, let's say you're on that early flight to Denver on United. All the West Coast flights are all leaving at about that same time, and they're all converging on Denver within a 15-20 minute period. They're all leaving between 5 and 5:30. Then people are going to change planes, and 45 minutes, hour, and 15 minutes later, all those planes are going to take off again. And head for points north, south, and east. So those planes have only made one stop, have only made one flight so far. So chances of them being delayed is much less than you trying to make a connection at 4:30 in the afternoon when your plane has already made five flights that day. Here is a great example. Out of Palm Springs the other night, we had a plane that was started the day in Baltimore. Power failure in Baltimore, so it didn't or until 3 hours late. It was late all day. So that was a situation where the plane was on the ground, but because of circumstances, it couldn't take off. However, generally, first flight of the day will do better for you, not only for an originating flight, but for the connecting flight. Here's the other big deal for people who fly from Sacramento. If you take those flights really, really early in the morning, you're at the airport, 3:30 in the morning, guess what happens with the parking spaces? All the people who came in late the night before, those spaces are still open.
There you go.
So you're going to, when I go out, when I have that 5:30 flight and I'm getting to the airport at 10 minutes after 3, I'm parking in the daily lot in the third damn row.
There you go.
Sometimes in the first row. If I was going into the parking garage, I'd be able to pretty much have run of the house. None of this shuttle bus stuff and having to shuttle, although those spaces are a little bit cheaper. But still, if you're parking in close, the parking in close is a lot easier if you take that early flight. So those are a couple of things. Less problems with connections and easier parking, particularly in Sacramento. I can't speak for other airports, but I'm guessing the same thing is probably true there also. So those are the biggest reasons to be a smarter traveler and get your rear end out of bed and take that early flight in the morning.
Well, you know, I can't argue with any of that. So you just got, I would just stay up a late at the party until
that's what
1:30.
Happens to, I'm sure this is a lot of my travelers too, but when you know the alarm's going to go off at 1:45,
you can't go to sleep.
You can't go to sleep or you wake up every 20 minutes looking at the alarm.
Right.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Take a minute here and just tell you quickly about a couple of vacations coming up from Sports Leisure Vacations. These are both in June, and I will tell you it is my pleasure to be the tour director on both of these trips. So if you'd like to meet a travel guy, here's your opportunity. We're going to take a trip across historic Highway 50, the Lincoln Highway, the loneliest road in Nevada, loneliest road in the country, hypothetically, but definitely the loneliest road in Nevada. That's the 5th through the 9th of June. We'll motor coach all the way out to Elko and Ely and then make our way back on the old highway. Oh, it's a 5-day trip. So for those of you who don't fly, that might be something that would be for you. And on June the 23rd through the 26th, there's a 4-day trip up to Oregon, stays on the Columbia River in the town of Hood River for 3 nights. There's a beautiful Best Western Plus hotel right there on the river. Folks will have a hotel room with a view. It's called Two Mountains and Two Rivers because you'll be on the Columbia, you'll be taking a cruise on the Willamette, and you'll be going up on Mount Hood and take an all-day trip to Mount St. Helens. Two Mountains and Two Rivers from Sports Leisure Vacations, June 23rd to 26th. If either one of those sounds interesting to you, you can find out more information at sportsleisure.com or give our office a call Monday morning after 9 o'clock at 916-361-2051.
Well, those both sound like a lot of fun, particularly the Oregon one. I could go for that. I don't know, the loneliest road in the United States. So
you got to be an off the beaten track guy, because that is like as off the beaten track. Trust me, Highway 50 through Nevada, through Ely and Eureka and Austin, is as off the beaten track as you can get. It makes Route 66 look like a metropolis.
Looks like a busy freeway. Well, sounds fascinating. And here again, as we were talking earlier, you take one of those really nice motor coaches that's extra comfy. You got extra leg room. And I went on a bus one of your trips to the ball game, and there was food and beverage on board. There were donuts and stuff. You guys, you take care of your people.
It's not like, it's a fairly, and plus when you think about like going to a baseball game, we do about 10 trips to Giants games each year. When you're going to the ballpark now, the traffic to and from San Francisco, you know, they're getting $40, $50 to park within parking, walking distance of the ballpark now. So even if you pay for one of those spots, you've got to walk each direction. Don't tell a lot of people, but our bus pulls up right in front of the ballpark.
Yeah.
And drops people right in front of the ballpark.
Big secret.
It might not last forever. But anyways, it is. Yeah, it's a great way to go to the ballpark because you don't have the traffic. You don't have the parking and all of those hassles. You get off the coach, walk in and see the ball game. When the ball game's over, you walk outside and there's the bus. You get on and we'll serve you a beer or a glass of wine. Yeah, it's the only way to go. All right. Enough sports leisure commercials.
All right. Off to Palm Springs we go. Tell us about it, Mark.
We were there last weekend, went down on Saturday morning and came back Sunday evening. And I kept my record intact of not getting home as scheduled. Our plane got hung up in Baltimore, a power failure, and we were 3 hours late getting home. We're supposed to be in it a little after 7, didn't get home till about 10:30 at night. But anyways, things happen when you travel. And mm-hmm. if you can't, you know, suck it up and just be okay with it, then you probably shouldn't travel because stuff happens. And sometimes, you know, you can't control the fact there was a power failure in Baltimore, and then your flight made up quite a bit of its time as the day went on, and then finally in Denver got stuck on the tarmac for an hour, and you ended up seriously delayed anyway. All right, Palm Springs, what a great destination, particularly in the off season. Now, remember, in the summertime down there, it's hotter than Phoenix. So it's really hot in Palm Springs in the summer. If you are a summertime traveler to Palm Springs, you will find hotel rates that will boggle the mind. You can't go outside between 9 and 3 without some kind of, or 9 and 6 without some kind of protection. But in the wintertime, early spring, great place to go. We went, let me share with you some of the restaurants we used in Palm Springs. In downtown Palm Springs, we used a place called Grand Central for lunch on arrival day. It's a really cool place, really nice people, good food. The other thing about Grand Central is right in the heart of the shopping district in Palm Springs. So if you go down there and you get a parking spot, have lunch, you can 3-4 blocks in every direction. You can easily kill an hour or two just looking around, and, you know, every good lunch deserves an ice cream dessert. So, and there are mm-hmm. opportunities for that and frozen yogurt and all kinds of stuff. We stayed at a hotel called Homewood Suites in Palm Springs, and I won't go into this in great detail because some of these things are specific to our group, but we had a miserable, awful experience there.
Oh.
And I wouldn't recommend it to anybody on any level. Remember, these limited service hotels, which Homewood Suites is, frequently, if you get there after 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the A-team is not working anymore. And so the B team may be very competent people, but they may not have the ability to, you know, they may not be fixers quite as much. And at these limited service properties, if you get there and you have an issue, then your issue may be an issue until morning. So there are a lot of these limited service properties that, you know, they include breakfast, and sometimes the breakfast is edible, sometimes it's not. But Homewood Suites in Palm Springs, I would not give it any. I wouldn't go there. If you're a single traveler, maybe. But if you're a person that needs a room with two beds in it, then Homewood Suites in general as a brand is not for you. For dinner, we went to Mama Gina's in Palm Desert. That is a great restaurant, Italian restaurant. It's in Palm Desert, Mama Gina's. Wonderful, wonderful pasta dishes. Our folks had a variety. That's the great thing about growing with a group is that you can see, you know, what 8 or 10 or 12 people are having. And it gives you a real idea of what the how the menu is being received. Great. The reason we went to Mama Gina's is because 4 blocks away in Palm Springs is one of the best theater venues in the entire country. It's a place called the McCallum Theater, and it's the perfect size. And the acoustics are wonderful. Parking is easy. It is really, really a great place. We saw a vocalist, Michael Feinstein, perform there. He's 68. He did a tribute to Tony Bennett. So this was more for a mature audience. But because he is such a great talent and an amazing vocalist, and the acoustics there are so amazing in that theater, I mean, just I can't. If you go to Palm Springs, make sure you look up what's going on at the McCallum Theater. Palm Springs tends to appeal to more mature travelers, and the things they have at the McCallum tend to be tribute acts sometimes to old performers, or just performers like Michael Feinstein who have been around a little while. And we really had a nice evening there. We had brunch the next day at Escena. I hope I'm saying it right. Escena golf course. And we ate outside, and it was lovely. They have a beautiful patio there and a really nice restaurant. So I would highly recommend Escena Golf Course for Sunday brunch. We went in the afternoon to see a show at the Desert Theater Works, which is kind of I would call it an upscale community theater in Palm Springs. They have a lot of old theater people who have retired there. And so they have more resources, perhaps, for community theaters than not every city has. But this was a female version of The Odd Couple. Started a little slow, but once they got going, it was pretty funny. It was a very enjoyable afternoon. And then that evening, we took the Palm Springs Tramway to the top of the mountain, which is about 8,000 feet above sea level, and had dinner up there and with a view of the valley down below. And the restaurant, actually, the food there is pretty respectable. And we had a good time. And on the way back down, there was some music playing in the tram as we started to make our way down. And some of us started, you know, kind of singing along. And before we got too far down the tramway, the whole tram was singing along to 60s pop music.
Oh, yeah.
And, the Monkees, John Denver and the like.
People love to do that, you know, in a situation like that. They're unabandoned, you know. They didn't do Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline, but what did they do? You said they did the Monkees' I'm a Believer and some John Denver.
Yeah, some Country Roads from John Denver. And a couple of people commented when we got to the bottom that, gee, if Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline had broke out, wouldn't that have been perfect? I guess it also proves, I'm sure some of the other people, there was about 25, 30 in our group, and there were probably 50 people on the tram. Probably some of those other people wondered, what in the hell is going on here? But they all got, by the second course, they were all swept up in it. So yep. We had, which just goes to show you, you know, sometimes traveling in a group can be just a little bit more fun than traveling by yourself. The next day, our third day in Palm Springs, we did something really cool that would appeal to a really, I think, a wide variety of age groups. We did a red Jeep tour in the desert. And in particular, these folks, part of their tour encompasses the San Andreas Fault. So they can, you know, as fault lines move, topography gets kind of shot up into the air at different angles and things like that. So there is a lot of educational information that can be shared with folks, and they can take you around and show you some of the unique things that are happening out there in the desert. And it was really educational and really a lot of fun. It's not inexpensive. I think it's $70 or $80 for the 2 to 3 hour tour. But I can tell you that my folks really enjoyed it. And I would really give it the highest recommendation if you're going to Palm Springs. And the great thing is, you know, if you had a 6-year-old and a 66-year-old, if you had grandma and the grandkids with you, this would be something, if you could afford it, that everybody could do and enjoy. And in fact, there was probably a 8- or 9-year-old. He wasn't in our Jeep, but he was in one of the other Jeeps that got back about the time that we did. And I could tell just how animated he was, that he had really enjoyed himself. So if you've got a kid that, you know, loves the outdoors, you know, loves that kind of stuff, why, this would be a really good thing. We really enjoyed ourselves. We finished with a meal at the 1501 Uptown Gastro Pub. Just remember 1501. That'll get you the Palm Springs. That'll get you the rest of it. Really good food. Really good service. Really fair prices, especially considering you're in California. Food, you know, restaurant prices here are as high as they are anywhere in the country because we're paying our people working wages. So anyways, the 1501 Gastro Pub, Grand Central, both in downtown Palm Springs, Mama Gina's out in Palm Desert, the McCallum Theater, Desert Theater Works if you're looking for community theater, and of course, the Palm Springs Tram you could ride up during the day. You don't have to eat there. But we really enjoyed going up and having dinner at the top. And we had a wonderful trip to Palm Springs. It really is a great destination. You know, Palm Springs, Tom, was dying. I mean, it was really going downhill 25 years ago. The downtown was deserted. And something happened there. And it made, and I don't know what it is. I'm sure local people would be smarter than me. But I didn't watch it happen. But the old Plaza Theater in downtown Palm Springs, which has been closed for years, is going to reopen in December. And it's just the most beautiful little spot there downtown. The shops are thriving. The restaurants are thriving. Getting a parking place, I'm sure, is a major problem. We're on a motor coach, so it's a little different for us. Mm-hmm. But just really a great destination. If you haven't been there for a while, particularly if, you know, you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, you still like to go cool places, that McCallum Theater has a lot of great entertainment, and Palm Springs is a great destination. That's the best commercial I can give. We really had a good time.
Well, and on top of that, if you go this time of the year, like you say, it's kind of like off season, but yet you want to escape the bad weather here in California, mm-hmm. you know, this is the time to go. My brother and sister-in-law, they have some timeshares, and Palm Springs is a 2-week destination for them on an annual basis. And then they just got back a couple of days ago, and they play golf. They're both near 80. Okay. And they would not miss it. They love it there. I can't wait to talk to Mark or to my brother Dave about the restaurants that you mentioned. In fact, I'll have to send him a copy of this segment just so that he can kind of go down memory lane on that. It'd be fun to talk to him about
it. There is one downside weather-wise in Palm Springs this time of the year, and we hit it a little bit, and that is the winds. Mm-hmm. These are not necessarily the Santa Ana winds. Those come a little bit different direction.
Yeah.
But the winds can be kind of a booger. In fact, one of the evenings when we were heading to dinner into the McCallum, a couple roads were closed because the wind was blowing so much and there's so much sand that and I'm guessing people's cars and their paint jobs down there probably have to be redone on a more regular basis because of that. But yet it depended on where you were in the valley. If you were in a protected area where you had the mountains to protect you and the like, then there was almost no wind. So different, you know, different places in the valley had different. But that is one of the downsides to the weather in the wintertime in Palm Springs, is it can be a bit windy.
Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every Saturday at 11 a.m., here to make you a smarter traveler. And don't forget now, you can find podcasts at iHeartRadio or go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can sign up to get a notice as to when the podcasts are ready for you to listen to. So there you go. All right, Mark.
We have a couple thousand people a week listening to our podcast.
Oh,
and dare I say, the number of people listening to the radio show live continues to increase. So thank you to all of the people who give us a little bit of their time on Saturday or any other time during the week, because that's a really, I know how valuable time is, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Mark, let's dig into this.
Well, we've been talking about how, you know, with these points and miles games, the currency is printed by the company that creates the game. So it's not like government dollars that aren't going to be devalued on a regular basis. But in this case, this currency can be devalued anytime these guys want to. Most of the time so far, it's been by moving the goalposts and saying, you know, you needed 30,000 points to stay in this hotel for a night. Well, now it's 45,000. And when it's busy, it's 75,000. And on the biggest weekend of the year, it's 100,000 points a night. And suddenly you're saying, wow, you know, my points are not worth as much as they used to. Airlines, same thing. They've all gone to this dynamic pricing, so there's no charts anymore where you can say, you know, for a hotel or a flight that's in this category, here's what it'll cost me. It's all supply and demand on the airline's part. Now, that works both ways. If you go to a lesser-known destination at a lesser busy time of the year, you can get some incredible deals with your miles and your points. So if you travel in the off season, you can make that really work for you. But most people do not do that. And they know this. And these loyalty programs have become so bloated with the miles and the points that have been given away. You know, get this credit card and get 150,000 free miles or free points, and you can go this place or that place. Well, eventually, these guys have got so many miles and points out there that people are redeeming at a rate that it starts to hurt their bottom line. And I'm certain that's what's happening. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, Marriott has increased at all of their top tier properties, their 150 best properties on the planet. They've said, all right, we're going to jack these numbers up even more because obviously too many people are getting there and redeeming. Also, you will find if you are a lesser frequent flyer or a lesser frequent traveler, that and your loyalty status is on a lower level, you may find out that a lot of dates or flights are blocked out for you to use those points and miles. And increasingly, this is an issue. So you've worked hard to earn these, and now you're thinking, well, you know, this is going to be how I fund my vacation, and maybe not so much. Southwest Airlines this week, this comes from One Mile at a Time for Ben Schlappig. They have completely changed the value proposition of the Rapid Rewards program with absolutely no notice. This is what has happened. Want to get away fares, which on Southwest is basic, their basic coach fare.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the cheapest fare that you can buy when you go online, and the fare that probably 90% of people look to. So you used to earn 6 points for every dollar that you spent. Going forward, you will earn 2 points for every dollar that you spend. So that's a pretty serious cut. If you spent $200 on a round-trip ticket before, you would earn 1,200 points. Now you will earn 400 points. Simple math tells you that in those circumstances, it will take you three times as long to earn a free ticket. Now, but if you're saying, well, Southwest, they're really bad guys. No, they're trying to be really smart guys. Because what they've done is, on the high end, they're actually increasing their business select fares are going to earn now 14 times points.
So they want you to buy the more expensive.
So what they're doing is ahead of
get more points.
Ahead of moving the seats around and creating better, you know, getting people to pay by location and by legroom, they're already saying, well, look, you know, those of you poor people who buy the cheap tickets, we don't want you earning too many free tickets, so that's we can't have that. So you sit in the back of the plane, and here you earn just a few points and miles and don't bother us. This is pretty significant. This is a 67% devaluation. So I think you
that's
will see
ridiculous.
More of this.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see more of this, more cuts in the number of points and miles that you earn. And Southwest, interestingly enough, I didn't see a single announcement. I'm a Southwest guy. I didn't get any kind of an email or any kind of announcement or anything at all. So for those of you who have points and miles, remember our best advice, and that is use them as soon as you can, because they will never be worth as much tomorrow in the future as they are today.
Ain't that the truth? And I think one of the points is, besides the trying to earn points by flying and buying tickets, it's now turned to get the Southwest Visa card, buy stuff, get points. And,
exactly.
Oh, by the way, if you spend $4,000 in the first 3 months of owning the card, you're going to get an extra 100,000 points, which by doing the math is now worth far less than it used to be.
Than it used to be, yeah. Pay your rent, pay your taxes, pay your car payment. I will tell you, however, Tom, increasingly, and I do business with hotels and restaurants and stuff with big groups of people, increasingly they're saying, well, there will be a 3% service charge to use a credit card here. So, and the card points are not worth 3%, so out they go. We are about to the end of another Travel Guys radio show adventure here, so let me just say, Tom, tell folks to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next Saturday, 11 a.m., for the next edition of the Travel Guys.